Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Yes, there are still no newspapers tonight in New York City, so don't blame Dad if he couldn't bring you the comics. Because on direction of Mayor LaGuardia, your city station is going to perform that little duty. Yes, once again, as has been our custom during the past 12 days, WNYC brings you the Comic Parade, a roundup of the activities and adventures of your favorite comic strip characters as they appeared in today's local newspapers. And with us this evening, on invitation of His Honor the Mayor, is the well-known radio personality of the Can You Top This program, Joe Laurie Jr., to read the comics for you. Come in, Joe.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your little Uncle Joe Laurie Jr., back with you again. I'm very happy to be back with you because it gives me a chance to see the comics today. I've been worried about them. And what is this, our 12th day, isn't it, with the comics? And you've had such great fellas reading the comics to you, like great comedians like Harry Hirschfield, Senator Ford, Peter Donald, Howard and Shelton. They were swell. Russ Brown, Irving Fisher. Tomorrow you're going to have a very good friend of mine, Chick Cohn. He's a sports writer from Tucson. You'll like him. And, of course, the mayor. He really puts the schmaltz on it when he goes at it. And, of course, the mayor's voice always leaves an echo in our hearts. Well, I guess we can start now. Let's see. What do we have? Oh, well, we must see what Orphan Annie does. Of course, you all know about Orphan Annie. She's on trial, you remember, for they think she killed Bleeding Heart. Well, we know different. And the jury was out to see the spot the other day, and Mrs. Plouffe, Polyps, or whatever her name is, fell in there, and she saved her with the chains, often through Orphan Annie's idea of the chains. They saved her. Well, the first picture shows Orphan Annie talking to a lawyer who is a sort of an namby-pamby guy. He's not for her either. In fact, the whole town is against her. But we don't have to worry. I think little Orphan Annie's going to win out. Anyway, she says, little Orphan Annie's sitting there with Zero, and she says to her attorney, she says, I hate to brag, but everybody admits that my getting those tire chains for a ladder in a hurry saved Mrs. Pulp's life. Well, the attorney says, well, she doesn't admit it. He says, she actually thinks that the system was a trap that you set in some way. And he turns his back on Orphan. Orphan says, what a mind. By the way, what do you think? She says that to her attorney. He says, well, you know, he's a sort of a hamby-pamby guy. He says, well, I hardly know what to think, Annie. I can't forget that Miss Pulp is my mother's dearest friend. She is a good woman. And little Orphan Annie hears that, and she puts up her arms and she says, a good woman, my God, leaping lizards. And that's the finish of that. And even Zero looks disgusted. Then we go to Joe Palooka. Oh, this is a very short one, but very mysterious. You remember they were on an island, the two Dutchmen, and we don't know what they are. We don't know if they're spies or not. And you see them with a machine that blows up dynamite. And Druten is there, bending down at the machine. The other fellow's got a stick in his hand. And he says, Druten, now! And the next picture, you see the three men on an island, just shadows. And they've got guns, and this box is there. And out in the ocean, you see a big explosion, just boom! And the last picture shows Jerry and Joe in bed. And Jerry's awake. He heard the explosion. And he says, Jerry! Jerry! He's trying to wake Jerry up, but you know Jerry. Jerry's just snoring. Now, I wonder what happened. Now we got Dick Tracy. Ah, good old Dick. You remember her? Remember when she got the... What was her name? The girl's name in Dick Tracy. Oh, Breathless. That's right, Breathless. You remember she ran away with the money? And she knocked out the wet wash, the laundry man? And she got to this little shack. You remember the mysterious stranger with the tractor? And he just watched her. She don't know anything about it. And she ran out of gas. So she stops at this old shack. And she's knocking at the door. She says, it seems there's nobody in. Then she sees a car driving away out on the road. It's a police car. And she says, who's that? And we get to the next picture. And the boys in the police car says, we found it, Ed. That's the missing truck. See, they see the laundry wagon right opposite them. And the other cop says, I'll radio Tracy right away. Then we see her jumping into the house. She says, they're searching for wet wash now. Things are getting hot. I'll better get inside. And then the next picture shows her inside, and we hear her saying, ye gods, what kind of a family live here? What a mess. This place must be run by a bachelor. Then we see the picture of the mysterious man on the tractor. You know, the bewhisket fella, all tattered clothes and all. And he's taking a chew of tobacco, and he's just watching the house. That's all he does. He don't say anything, but he's watching Bleeding Heart in the house. Now, remember, the police are calling up Dick Tracy. They've got the laundry wagon, and this mysterious man is just watching Bleeding Heart in the house. We'll find out what happens tomorrow. Now, Little Abner. Well, we see the beginning of a newspaper. The first picture shows the headline of a newspaper. It says, Barbara Saville will stop in Dogpatch. On her way to a wedding in California, America's favorite songbird, the divine Barbara Saville, will stop long enough in Dogpatch to greet her fans and shake hands with a privileged few. Accompanying the lovely Nightingale will be her fiancé, the world's most distinguished medical luminary, Dr. Flopwood Stitch, who has been long considered second to none in the field of diagnosis. And they show a picture of Barbara Saville, the opera star, and Dr. Flopwood Stitch, the surgeon. Now, that's in the newspaper. That's the headline. Then we see in the house of Little Abner, he's talking to his mammy, and he says, Mammy, it says she's going to stop long enough to shake a few hands. Oh, Mammy dear, could you just make one exception? You remember she told him never to shake hands? And he's crazy about this Barbara Saville. And his mammy says, you promised me not to shake nobody's hands, no how. And you gotta keep that promise. The next picture shows her in the room, and we don't see Little Abner, but we know he's sleeping behind the partition there, and he's just sobbing, you know, sob, sob. And the old lady says, the vision told me a tremendous tragedy would smack him if he shook a hand, don't know whose, but oh, that's sobbing. It's wearing me down. And, you know, the old mammy feels pretty bad about Little Abner, but you can't allow him to shake anybody's hand. And that's Little Abner. Now we come to bringing up Father. He's at a reception, and oh, everybody is around this piano, and some woman is singing, a big, fat woman is singing, I'm in love with someone, but where is he? Well, he can't take it. He says, that's all I can take. He says, I'm going to beat it. And he's just about beating it out of the room when a man stops. He says, aha, where are you going? You're Mr. Jiggs, aren't you? He says, yes. Come on, let's sneak out, he says to this fellow. And this fellow says, yes. I'll admit it's boring to listen to all this singing. He says, I'd like to go with you, but I'm the host, and that's my wife singing. Well, you can imagine how Jig feels. He's got a big exclamation point right over his head. And here's from the Eagle, Little Bo. That's a cute little cartoon. I like that. And here he is in a little glade, a shady little glade there, right near a little lake. And he's looking at the two kids there, you know, the little dog, Bo. He says, gee, it's nice and cool in this old stone quarry. No wonder the kids like to play here. Then we see the two kids undressing. He says, did your mother say anything about coming here? He says, I forgot to ask her. And I wore my bathing suit under my clothes. See, he's taking it off. He's got his bathing suit right underneath. And little Bo is watching. The little dog is watching right from behind the hill. Then we see the two kids going into the water. He says, we'll build a raft big enough to hold us all, huh? Yes, and the other fellow says, and sail way down a creek like a trip round the world. The next picture shows little Bo, the dog, all by himself. He says, oh, so that's what Junior meant by saying we'd go round the world. Oh, well, it'll be fun. That is, if nothing happens. Now, tomorrow we'll see. Maybe something has happened to the kids. I hope not, because they're swell kids. And then from the Evening Sun, we got Doc. He's a crazy guy by Ving Fuller. I like him. He's sort of a nutty guy. And he's answering the phone. There he is with his little beard and mustache and his hair all up, you know. And he's listening to the phone. He says, what's your problem? And the man on the phone says, hello, Doc. This is Cecil Sludge. I'm in a quandary. I'm at my wit's end. Then we see a picture of Cecil Sludge telephoning. He says, you told me the only way to cure my rheumatism was to keep away from dampness. And then the next picture shows a doctor. He says, well, what's so tough about that? The next picture shows him in a bathtub. We see this Cecil Sludge in a bathtub. And he's saying, I feel very silly sitting in an empty bathtub. That's a silly thing. It's fun, though. Then we see King of the Royal Mounted. Oh, there's a great guy, this king. And Jack is telling me, you remember the other day they found this this fellow dead? Slick John found him dead. Well, Royal King didn't know about it. So now Jack comes to tell him. And we see Royal King and Mandy is right behind him. And Jack is saying, "That's right, King. Slick John was murdered on the edge of town less than an hour ago." And King says, "Okay, I'll be along in a minute, Jack." Then he thinks, "This certainly ties in with Mandy's actions." And she says, "Oh," when she hears about them being murdered. And King says to her, he says, "This looks bad for you, Mandy. You had a motive and were away from the diner with a gun. Let's see those eggs you went for." You remember she said she went for eggs? And he picks up the bundle. He says, "Aha, not eggs at all. It's Billy's lunch. So your brother wasn't at his job, eh? Well, this makes him number one suspect." Well, I think they got their goods on him. You know, that guy, King of the Royal Mounted, is a pretty slick article. We'll find out what he happens to Bill tomorrow. Now we come to Smiling Jack. You remember Lieutenant Brownie and Wiki have a pretty tough argument about who's going to take care of Little Jungle Jolly, you know. He's a suede kid. And she's all alone, and she sees the boat. She says, "Well, the boat is sailing away with Wiki." She says, "I feel certain that Wiki isn't going to be good to Jungle Charlie. It may be jealousy, but I think it's a woman's intuition." Then she sees a plane overhead, and she's walking down the street. She says, "I just know she's not the right kind of a mother for Jungle Jolly." Then the last picture, Smiling Jack is passing, but is not noticing her at all. And she says, "But every dark cloud has a silver lining. Wiki may have Jungle Jolly with her. But," she looks at Jack, she says, "I still have Colonel Martin here. Even if he is so blind, he can't see me." Well, we'll see what happens to Jungle Charlie and Lieutenant Brownie. Oh, little Smitty. This Smitty from the news, you know. You remember these two office boys have had a terrific fight all the time? And he says, they're looking at each other, and he says, "That's what I said." And the other fellow says, "Come on, I'm ready." And Smitty says, "Not here in the office. We can't fight. Go out front. I'll soak you." He says, "Okay, I'll be there. And the next picture shows him standing outside of the office. And he says, "So he's going to soak me, eh?" And the last picture, you see a big pail of water falling right on him. And he's all wet. Well, I guess that's about all we got time for. But I just want to say this. Last time I was with you, boys and girls, I remember I dedicated a poem to the mayor. Well, it wasn't my poem. Thomas Guthrie wrote the poem. But I got a lot of phone calls and requests for a copy of it. Well, I'm going to do it again for you tonight. So have patience and fortitude, kids, just for a second. And here's the poem, and I'd love to dedicate to the mayor because he embodies all these things in this poem. "I live for those who love me, for those who know me true, for the heaven that bends above me and the good that I can do, for the wrongs that need resistance, for the cause that lacks assistance, for the future in the distance, and the good that I can do." That's it, I guess.
Thank you, Joe Laurie Jr. Thanks very much for being with us tonight and helping all of New York City's youngsters get to bed happily and content after learning of the adventures of their favorite comic strip characters. For the duration of the newspaper delivery tie-up in New York City, your city station has expanded its news periods to bring you the latest local city developments, and as a special feature, twice daily, at 8.05 a.m. and 6.15 p.m., we present the Comic Parade, rounding up the comic strips. Tomorrow morning at 8.05, Inez Kama reads the funnies. And tomorrow evening at 6.15, Clarence Chick Cohn reads the comic strips. And remember, too, that at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., WNYC broadcasts the latest War Department redeployment announcements concerning American troops in Europe. Joe, do you want to say anything further?
Yeah, just a line. Well, kids, may the angels love you all, but not too soon. Good night.
Thanks very much, Joe Laurie Jr. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.